Did I tell you Happy New Year? I think I've said that a few times today. Happy New Year, one more time. You know, there's not really anything significant about January 1. Well, there might be for you. It might be some special day other than New Year for you. But in terms of the significance of the day, it's an assignment that we make to call this the first day of the new year. It's January 1, but it's a rather artificial kind of thinking to say that this is a new beginning, because it's pretty much like yesterday. But what's wrong with thinking about new beginnings? I mean, that's a good thing. It's nice to think that we can start over. Mulligans and golf, you know, are a good thing, only on the first hole. The other ways, renewing our marriage vows is another way we start over. Unfortunately, that's sometimes, not always, but sometimes because one person or the other has destroyed those vows, but starting over is a good thing. Renewing your vows, it's a good thing. What about remodeling the house or doing some new landscaping around the house? That's a good thing. I found out last year that it could be expensive, but it's a nice thing to do, to start over, to redo things, to begin again. Nothing wrong with starting over. But what about those start-overs, do-overs we call resolutions? We'll hear them several times. We'll talk about them. If you've been around for more than a few New Years, like I have, you may have become so frustrated and even disgusted with New Year's resolutions because they didn't work very well that you've kind of given up on them. We usually give up on them because they deal with things that we really want to do and don't want to do at the same time. Or we hope that by writing them down or saying them out loud that there'll be some extra motivation for us to do them this time, even though we didn't last time. But our history has shown, or at least my history has shown, and I suspect yours is similar to mine, that by Easter, we probably will have forgotten all about them, and unfortunately for me, it may be by Valentine's Day. They just don't seem to stick. Why is it so hard to stick with something? Why is it so hard to stay focused? Well, there are lots of reasons why, I guess. But when we ask the question, why do some of us keep making resolutions when we know that they're going to be hard, that we're not going to stick with them very easily, you think we just forget it. But we keep trying. We keep trying to start over. We keep trying new behavior. And again, nothing wrong with that. But maybe better questions to ask are questions like, how do we learn to keep resolutions? How do we learn to stay the course? How do we learn to stay focused on where we're going, to keep our eyes on the goal, to do the things that we know we need to do to change our behavior, to change things in our lives that need to be changed? How do we do that? How do we discipline ourselves well enough to stay focused on our resolve? Sustain is a word that describes what we're looking for, I think. How do we sustain our efforts to keep our promises, even the ones that we make to ourselves? How do we keep on keeping on? How do we stay the course? How do we sustain? How do we keep battling? How do we stay focused? How do we keep growing? I'm sure you've heard the term sustainable living. It's a term that is around a lot these days. Wikipedia defines it this way: a lifestyle that attempts to reduce an individual's or society's use of the earth's natural resources and his or her own resources. Practitioners of sustainable living often attempt to reduce their carbon footprint by altering methods of transportation or energy consumption or diet or many other ways. Some of you are attempting to live sustainable lives. you're attempting to do sustainable living. I know because I get emails from you that say at the bottom, do not print this email out because you'll be wasting paper. Just read it and do it or whatever. Just read it and act on it, but don't print it out. You can tell it's a viable movement, this thing called sustainable living in our world, because there are lots of people who are getting on board with it. But you can also tell it's a viable movement because there are lists emerging in the spirit of you might be a redneck, called you might be a greenie if. Here's some of the ones I found. You might be a greenie if you've managed to reduce the volume of waste that your household produces to such an impressive degree that the garbage man occasionally knocks on your door to see if you're okay. You might be a greenie if you get a little giddy every time you go out into your backyard to turn your compost pile. You might be a greenie if you document the color, depth, and decomposition rate of your soon-to-be black gold via your Facebook. You might be a greenie if you habitually rescue improperly discarded recyclable materials from public garbage receptacles and no longer notice or care that everyone seems to think you're a homeless person. You might be a greenie if your washed, air-dried, and hand-ironed aluminum foil is a common sight in your kitchen. Do you really do that? So for those of you who practice this sustainable living, you're engaged in these practices, recycling and other kinds of ways of practicing the sustainable life, what motivates you to keep on keeping on? And the more relevant question for you and me today in this place is, what about the spiritual life? The life with God, we call it. Following Jesus. What about that life that most of us in this room, I think, are seeking, that most of us want to do, that also calls for sustainability? As we shared with Eva in her baptism this morning, I was reminded that my beginning point was when I was 9 years old, a long, long time ago. There have been many times along the way when I was having difficulty sustaining my energy level, keeping on, keeping on, keeping going, staying the course, staying focused. It's difficult. But the life of following Christ, the life of living with God, calls for some sense of sustainability. How do we find that? How do we have that in our lives? How do we keep on keeping on? And why do so many of us lose that resolve, lose that passion that we had when we first started following Christ? We lose that sense of purpose. We lose that sense of where we're going. We lose our desire. Maybe there are some things the Scriptures teach us, some things that Jesus taught in that great sermon that he preached to the masses who gathered with him, that help us to understand how we can live sustainable spiritual lives. Some things that parallel some of those same principles of physical or natural sustainability. You heard the passage read earlier from Matthew. I won't read it again, but if you want to refer to it, it's Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 through 34. The idea that Jesus seems to have in preaching this message to the crowds that calls us to live sustainable lives, life that is sustained by the great sustainer, the Holy Spirit, and is only possible when we put our trust completely in God. It's not about us nearly as much as it is about Him and how we trust Him. I want to suggest to you three things from this passage of Scripture that that I believe that keeping on, keeping on, or sustaining the life we're called to live is suggested by Jesus and His words that He teaches here about life lived with God. The first one is that keeping on, keeping on, or sustainable living in the sense of following Jesus, isn't about a one-time, get-on-board, mountaintop experience of confession and baptism and decision to follow Christ. Or it isn't just about that one-time experience. Nothing in life, in fact, is sustained by a single experience. A single declaration of love doesn't sustain a marriage, which reminds me of that old joke where the woman says, you never say I love you anymore, and the guy says, I told you 30 years ago, if anything changes, I'll let you know. You know, it doesn't sustain. One-time experience doesn't sustain in anything. A single victory over temptation is never sufficient for a life of virtuous living. One time doesn't last forever. A single vacation is never enough for a lifetime of refreshment. So why would we think that a single encounter with Christ, that one time, that one mountaintop experience, when we met God for the first time, when we trusted Christ, which is a great experience, a vital experience in our lives, but why would we think that that one encounter would carry us through all the years? In this passage, Jesus uses the metaphors of food and clothing because these are needs that are never completely or permanently satisfied. Jesus says, you may have enough to eat today, but you don't know that you'll have enough to eat tomorrow. And so you have a couple of choices there. You can worry about, am I going to have enough to eat tomorrow? Are you going to trust Him that you will? Are you going to trust that you will? He uses these as if to say, you may have plenty to eat, you may have enough to wear for now, but that's not enough. Nothing is sustained by one experience. Later in the passage, he says, strive first for the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. It's easy to read that and say, go to church and God will give you food and clothes. Perhaps a better read is, resolve to walk with God, to follow Christ all the days of your life, and the spiritual resources that you need in the future will be there for you because He is there for you. He is the source. He is our resources. Kay and I have been with our sons and their wives and our fantastic two grandchildren all week long. We had a great time. Spent the whole week with the family and had a good time. And Thursday night we went out to eat. We went to one of our favorite Mexican restaurants. And I didn't know they had this, but we were all together. So there were six of us and two kids. So we ordered the fantastic Fiesta platter. Enough for six to seven, the menu said. We ate chips and salsa and fajitas and shrimp and vegetables and ribs and rice and beans until all of us were stuffed. Inevitably, you'll always hear someone say at a meal like that, and I've said it many times without the Fiesta platter, I will never eat again. I am so full, I've got all I'll ever need. And I didn't until I got back to the hotel and I got some milk and a little Christmas cake snack. It took about that long. So it is with our spiritual lives. We may have a powerful or a simple experience with God today. And He is enough for us. He is enough. The resources that He has are enough to fill us up. He is all we need. But we can only consume so much of Him. We are humans with limitations. We can't take all of Him at once, and so we'll be hungry again tomorrow and the next day. And Jesus says, don't worry that you'll be hungry tomorrow, because you will, but trust in the Father. Trust in Him to know that He will take care of you. Trust in Him knowing that He has the resources to provide for you. Isaiah says in chapter 40, verse 31, Those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So the sustainable life is ongoing over and over and over, trusting in God daily, weekly, monthly, regularly, consistently, coming back to experience Him and all His goodness and all His resources that sustain us over and over and over. Secondly, I think from the passage, to understand and learn what it means to keep on keeping on, to live that sustainable life, is to recognize the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives. A lot of times when we think about endurance, keeping on, keeping on, we think about what we're going to do. That's what resolutions are, aren't they? They are about what we do. And there is a role that we have. But the suggestion here is that there is also a role of the Holy Spirit. There's also a role of God in our lives to provide us the power to keep on keeping on, to sustain us. It's living with an awareness that there's a bigger picture here. There's something bigger than my own needs, my own self. There's something bigger than what I'm dealing with in my little world. There's something bigger here that can only be understood in the bigger picture of who God is and what He's about in our world. That it's only by the grace of God that we will be sustained. It's only by His power that He is the great sustainer. In recent years, one of the formulations of the church that has emerged to refer to the Trinity besides Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. In the Matthew passage that we read earlier, at first glance it seems that Jesus doesn't speak so much about sustainability, but rather speaks of not worrying and instructs His hearers to trust and get their priorities straight, seeking first the kingdom of God. He reminds them not to get caught up in the day-to-day mundane aspects of life and lose sight of the eternal, of the kingdom of God, of the real purpose of life. Now back to the green life. One of the difficulties for us in living the green life or sustainable living is that it's hard to see the big picture. Kay and I have been recycling at our level of recycling for many years, starting first, as probably many of you did, if you do this, with newspapers, and then adding on, when we came to Texas, we were close to the Ellington recycle bins, and so we take our glass and our tin and our aluminum and plastic milk cartons and all those things, and we try to do that pretty regularly and try to be consistent about it. But there's a time when, for me, when I'm always wondering, and Kay is the driver here, so she's the one who's really passionate about it, and I'm the one who's trying to become passionate about it. But there's a time when I go, she goes, take that little piece of paper there to the recycle bin. And I go, that little piece of paper? I mean, is that really going to make a difference? Are we really saving a tree here? Come on. That's just, it's like hard to see the big picture when you think about sustainable living and the future and the world and the earth in terms of my little part of it. But that's what sustainable living is all about. It's about recognizing each of us having a part, and it's about recognizing the big picture. Now, back to keeping on, keeping on in our life with God. When we hear Jesus say that life is more than food and clothing, we realize that He's speaking about something bigger than how we live in the moment. He's talking about us seeing the big picture. We get caught up in, what am I going to do about tomorrow? What am I going to do about this little bitty thing that's going on in my life? And we lose sight of the big picture. The Heavenly Father who is able and capable and willing to do all that we need Him to do, to provide for us, to sustain us through whatever we face. He seems to be calling us to live in such a way that we can face tomorrow confident that our God is able, that our God is powerful, that He will hold us up, that He will protect our spirits, that He will carry us, even with all of our burdens, that He will sustain us. Surely there is a role that we have, which we recognized earlier when we said that it isn't a one-time experience that we have with God. We must seek Him over and over and over. But there's also a major role in our ability to live the sustainable life. There's a major role that's only known in the power of the Holy Spirit. There is a major role that God has in this of sustaining us that we can only experience when we trust Him completely, when we recognize that He is God and that He is capable and able to do all that we need Him to do to sustain us through whatever we're facing. We tend to live in the banal realities of our limited human experience. We can only see what we can see, and it's bleak to say the least. We only see that little piece of paper. We only see that little bitty self, and we lose sight of God's mission in this world and what He's doing all around us and in places that we can't see or will never see or experience. And Jesus calls us to open our spiritual eyes, to see the Lord God high and lifted up, the God who is the great sustainer, and He calls us to trust, put our trust completely in Him. At the Last Supper, you remember Jesus gave those words to His disciples that He wouldn't leave them orphaned, that the Holy Spirit would abide with them and would remind them of what Jesus had said to them. Thirdly, the sustainable spiritual life, I believe Jesus is seeking to say to us, is lived with an awareness of the role that others play in our lives and that we play in the lives of others as we recycle our experiences with one another. Ephesians 4 says, "Be humble and gentle with one another. Be patient with one another. Learn with one another. Bear one another's burdens in love." Always seeking a spirit of unity in your lives. There's a sense in which a recycling of experiences in the context of a group of people as group members share mutually about where they are on the spiritual journey that plays a huge role in the sustaining of spiritual life. Have you ever been in a group like this where someone comes in to the group and admits that they've got very few spiritual resources left in their tank? And then another person comes into the group and makes a similar admission. You know what happens when two people make that same admission? They both go, "Wow, I'm not the only one living in this spiritual desert. There's somebody else who's experiencing the same thing." When that happens, the few faith resources that person one has becomes available to person two and vice versa. And when you start counting those resources, the total they share is more than the sum of what both brought into the group. It's kind of a synergy kind of thing that's only experienced in the context of the group. When people come together, share their lives with one another, even their scars, their hurts, their lack of belief, their struggle with their faith, when those things are shared together, there's a kind of a recycling that goes on where we are recycling what we've learned, the things that we've seen God do in our lives, and we're sharing that with others who are struggling in those same areas, and they're able to take those resources and bring them into their own lives. It's a miracle of sustainability, in which our personal fragments of faith are somehow recycled into something that can nourish others to continue on the way. There's a guy named Eugene Kennedy who wrote in a book called The Pain of Being Human. He puts it this way: the renewal of ourselves, the restoration of our trust, is mediated by our relationship with others. Faith doesn't fall from the skies. It comes to life in our human experience. It is in sharing with others that we sense the meaning of the church as the people of God, the supporting community of those strengthened by God's Spirit. Kay and I decided in 2004, as the church's invitation, to host a group called, in the time when we were doing 40 Days of Purpose, or the Purpose-Driven Life, you remember that? It's been 7 years ago now. But we decided to host a group in our neighborhood, and it was published that there was a group meeting at our house. And so people came to our house, not because we invited them, but because they saw there was a group in their neighborhood, or not too far away, close by. And we met for, what was it, well, 40 days, however how many weeks that it. We didn't meet every day for 40 days, but we met for 7 weeks or 6 weeks or whatever. And at the end of that time, we had such a good time that we decided we would keep on meeting. And so we did, and we sought different ways to build our Bible study times around and different materials. And we're still meeting today. I mean, I don't mean today, but I mean last month we met, last in December, we met as a group, and we still meet together. And I think about that group, some of them are in this room, but we had very little in common when we first came together. But it was in the group that we found our common interests, and that was we were all seeking to live the life that Christ was calling us to live. And we were sharing with one another about what that means. And we've had some great times of over the years of sharing openly and honestly. It's hard for a pastor to be in a group like that, because you can't be, or at least it's hard for me as a pastor to be in a group like that, because it's hard to set aside the pastor job hat, you know, and just be one of the guys. But I work really hard at doing that, and they work really hard at helping me to do that. And it's turned out to be quite a nice thing, where we share with one another and we are helping one another. And it is a great part of sustainability in my own life, and I think in the lives of the other members of the group. There are many groups in the life of this church like that. Many of our Bible study groups have those kinds of relationships. Other small groups, other spiritual formation groups. It is in the context of the group where the renewal of ourselves and the restoration of our trust is mediated, as Kennedy said, by our relationship with others. We need one another. I often invite folks to a support group or a spiritual formation group, and sometimes they'll say, thanks, but I don't really think I need that right now or have time for that right now. And I don't ever say it, but I think I will one day when I get the nerve, but I want to say, but we need you. The group needs you. There are people in this group who need your experience, your resources that you bring to sustain them, to help them, to encourage them. It is in the context of the group that we become honest about our faith, even when we struggle. And when we're honest, the church has the opportunity to be the people of God together. And the Holy Spirit has room enough to refill our almost empty faith buckets and to sustain us for more miles on the journey. For most of us who are engaged in this life we call the spiritual life or the life with God, our resolve in the beginning was very strong. You remember it? You remember your passion when you began the journey? How excited you were. Maybe for some of you, you maintain that passion, but for some of us, we've lost that focus. And for perhaps others of us, we've tried too hard or thought we had to try too hard and just gave up quickly. It's not difficult to find ourselves in this place where we find ourselves empty and the faith that we once experienced as fire is now just like dust. We may continue to show up at church on Sunday morning, but it may be more out of routine than anticipation. Not an uncommon feeling, but one that definitely brings us to the place again where we go, I really need to re-up. I really need to recommit. I really need to renew my vows. I really need to say again, I really need to resolve once again that I want to be the follower of Christ that God wants me to be. I want to be again what I know He wants me to be, one of His. Sometimes we're reluctant to do that because we find ourselves frustrated, giving up, because we had such good intentions the last time, and so why bother again? I didn't do it the last time. I would suggest that maybe, just maybe, the reason it didn't happen before is because you were counting too much on yourself and not enough on the resources of the Heavenly Father to sustain you. The call of the passage of Jesus is, don't worry about tomorrow. Trust in God. Put your faith totally in Him. Know that He will provide for you the resources that you need no matter what you're facing in life. As we prepare to close this part of the service, I invite you to consider a new resolution. Maybe not like the resolutions of the past, not about what you're resolving to do, but more about who you're resolving to trust. And on what we all want to be, a faithful follower of Christ, one who trusts God for tomorrow, who doesn't worry or fret about the future. I invite you to turn in your hymnals to hymn number 301. This is an old hymn called I Am Resolved. And it's an old hymn, but the words are incredibly powerful. And rather than sing it today, in a few moments, I'd like for you to reflect on the words of that hymn as Debbie sings that hymn with a new tune, not the old hymn tune. I know some of you love that tune, but this is a little different tune. But listen to the words and reflect on the words of the hymn as she sings them in just a moment. And I invite you to consider a new resolve, to resolve anew this day, not just to lose weight or whatever else it is you're resolving to do this year, but to resolve to let this be a year where you live sustainable life in Christ, trusting in Him, not worrying about the future, but always seeking to experience Him in your life. Let's pray. Oh God, we give You thanks for the resources that You offer to us. Forgive us for wasting, for misusing, for not taking care of all the great gifts that You give us. But help us at this day and at this moment. Help us at this time to consider again new resolve to trust You, to walk with You, to seek You with all of our hearts, every day, all the way. In Jesus' name, amen.